How many of you really believe that when praises go up, when praises go up, when praises go up, blessings come down? God bless your saints. Prayer. You all should always remember Psalm 22 says that God will inhabit the praises of his people. Amen. Amen. I'm just foolish enough to believe that if you are in a troubled space, if you praise the Lord, God will show up in your troubled space. Amen. If you are down in the valley, and if you dare praise him, God will show up in your valley. Amen. And so we thank the Lord. Let's give the choir a big hand of encouragement. They have blessed us abundantly. We want to invite our parents to release your children, kindergarten through sixth grade. We're going to go to the back. It's youth church time. And before we preach up here, we want to send our young people downstairs to have their own youth experience. And so kindergartners through sixth graders, parents, if you would trust us with your young people, we will bring them back. I promise you, we will bring them back. Amen. Come on down, young people. These are our future scientists and technicians and engineers and artists and mathematicians and chief investment officers and chief executive officers and congresswomen and Miss America taking her stroll. Yes, ma'am. Future presidents and mayors and governors. Let's give our big people, a little big people, a big hand of encouragement. Oh, let's not forget. Let's not forget. This is a track star right here, a future track star. Amen. Way to go, young lady. And future president, Madam President. Let's give God a praise offering for our young people. Stand to your feet, if you would, with me and turn in your Bibles. It's preaching time. Amen. Turn with me to the, we're going to do two Old Testament scriptures today. And I want to invite your attention to the Old Testament book of Joshua and the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And I told the 8 o'clock crowd, if you need to look in the table of contents to find out where is Nehemiah, please do that. Amen. I told folk, don't fake it till you make it. Make sure you're in the book and make sure you're in the chapter. Amen. A lot of folk know what Joshua is, the sixth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. But then a lot of folks say, where is Nehemiah? Well, you keep reading past 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, you're going to stumble upon the trio of books called Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And so we want you to turn to Joshua first and look with me. Starting at Joshua chapter 6, put it right in there, thank you. Starting in verse number 1, we want to read a few verses 1 through 5 for us. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Say amen, you've located that text. Now the Bible says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. Keep that book and go over with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. And look with me, starting in verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1. The Bible reads, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer the sacrifice, offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders.' So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify the people of God. Would you pray with me, beloved, on the title of this sermon, "Don't Let the Walls Hinder Your Praise." Don't let the walls hinder your praise. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. I pray, Lord, that the anointing of the Most High God would fall fresh in this place, and that you, God, would get the glory and the honor, and that somebody's heart would be encouraged, somebody's mind would be illuminated, and ultimately, oh God, that somebody's soul would be convicted. I thank you, Lord, for what you have already done. I thank you for what you are doing, and I thank you, God, for what you are about to do. Have your way in this place, and we shall be careful to give your name the glory, to give your name the praise, and to give your name the honor. In the name of Jesus our Christ, let all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. Today, on this last Sunday in April, before we begin our new month of May and all the celebrations therein, Mother's Day, which shall take place on the 10th of May, Women's Culmination Sunday, which shall take place on the 17th of May, and then Memorial Day weekend, which will take place on that next Sunday, the 24th of May. 3 weeks of great celebrations and family and fun, and we pray that you will enjoy this upcoming May. But last Friday, I invited folk to travel with me down to Camden, and the Lord had me preach this very sermon I'm preaching today to the Bethany Baptist Association's Christian Leadership School. They have a school down there that stretches across the county and invites folk to come and to worship together and to study the Word of God together, and it's a great thing. And so this is the third time that I preached at their kickoff service for their Christian Leadership School, and the Lord led me to preach to them about walls. And I said to them that every now and again in your life, you're going to encounter some walls. They may be mental walls. They may be financial walls. They may be psychological walls. They may be tangible walls, or they may be intangible walls. But and again, in your life, you're going to encounter some walls. And usually walls are meant to keep people out. Think about the border along the United States, southern states, Arizona, Texas, California, New Mexico. There is a wall, a fence that we have erected, the United States, in an attempt to keep illegal immigrating citizens from Mexico from, or I should say citizens from Mexico, from illegally immigrating into the United States. I don't like using the term illegal aliens. First of all, no one's an alien except those who come from outer space. Amen. And we all got blood running through our veins and breathe the same air. We're not aliens. And so, number one, these are human beings that want a better life for themselves. And if we were to use the term illegal alien, everybody that immigrated to the United States, starting with our English brothers and sisters, were illegal and alien. Because the people who were here first were Native Americans, and they were indigenous to these United States of America. That's a sermon for another day. We have built a wall to keep citizens from Mexico from illegally immigrating into the United States. Back in the 40s and 50s, post-war Germany, East Germans built a wall called the Berlin Wall that separated the East Berlin from the West. And that was an attempt to keep those who wanted to go from east to west, to keep them in and to keep other folk out. Walls are usually meant in a derogatory or negative context, and usually they are meant to be debilitating and derailing to one's hopes, possibilities, dreams, and futures. And yet I am convinced that the devil will throw walls up in our lives to try to keep us from accomplishing the very thing God has purposed and ordained for our lives. Walls, walls, walls. If I don't know if any of you have ever encountered walls in your life, but I just believe if you keep on living, you're going to encounter a wall, and the question is going to be, when you run smack into a wall, what are you going to do about it? I believe today the Lord has told me to give you three words that would help you to not only exegete these two texts, but help you understand its meaning and applicability to your very life. Number one, I believe God wants me to talk about walls. Number one. Number two, God wants me to talk about work. And then number three, God wants me to talk about worship. Because all three of these words are interrelated to the text in which we are preaching from today. I usually don't choose or have two different texts from which to preach because, number one, one text in God's word is enough to exegete on a given Sunday. But there comes moments when two texts are so congruent and so symmetrical and represent the same types of representations and images, imagery and messages that they are good to tie them together in the Word of God. And so today is one of those times where the story of Joshua and the story of Nehemiah are so congruent and so related to what God wants us to do in our very own community that I believe God says preach these words and preach both of these texts together. Number one, I want you to know that Joshua and Nehemiah both dealt with walls. They have that in common. Joshua and Nehemiah both had to deal with motivating the people of God to do the work of God. And number three, I believe that both Joshua and Nehemiah had to worship and understand the centrality of our worship to God in order to accomplish the things that God has purposed for us to accomplish. Amen, somebody. How many of you know that God is trying to take you somewhere? How many of you know God has a blessing waiting for you? How many of you understand that God is leading you towards a breakthrough in your life, and that the enemy's job is to prevent you from getting to where God is trying to take you? Amen, somebody. The enemy's job is to put up obstacles and impediments, inhibitions and prohibitions, to put up walls in your life to prevent you from getting to where God has purposed you to go. But I want someone to understand today that the devil is a liar, and that no matter how many obstacles, no matter how many walls, no matter how many impediments, that God is going to get the victory. If you trust him, you'll get to where he wants you to be, and God will be glorified. Do I have a witness here today? The devil is a liar. Expect to deal with some walls in your life. In point of fact, the text tells me in Joshua that Joshua, the successor of the king of Moses, the great liberator, Joshua, the young man that stood behind the scenes until it was his time to step into the leadership position, Joshua, the man who served Moses and helped him get the people of God to the precipice of the promised land. How many of you remember God promised Israel a promised land, a land of milk and honey, a land that will be overflowing with opportunity and possibility? But in order to get there, you're going to have to trust me, God says. And Joshua helped Moses and Aaron and Miriam and Hur to help them get the people of God from where they were in Egypt to where God wanted them to be. And if you recall, the Bible says that Moses took the people of Israel to the brink of the promised land. He looked over the land, saw it, but he would not get there with them. Joshua, the young successor, his young protege, his young mentee, was then called into action. Interesting, not Aaron, not Hur, not Miriam, but Joshua was called to then lead the people over the river into the promised land. Now they're going to where God wants them to be, but in their path was a place called Jericho. And Jericho was a fortified city that had walls around it. Standing in the way of the people of God achieving and arriving at their destination was the walled city of Jericho. And I stand here to declare that as God is leading each of us to our destination, our appointed blessing, that you're going to face some Jerichos in your life, some walls that you're going to have to figure out if you can't get around it, and if you can't get under it, and you can't get over it, you might just have to tear the wall down. Come on, somebody. There's some things in life you can't run from anymore. There's some things in life you can't scoot under the rug. There's some things in life you just can't turn a blind eye to. And there's some things in life you cannot poke your head in the sand and pretend that they're not there. There's some moments in your life when you're going to have to just face the wall and say, God, for God I live, for God I die. Lord, help me to tear this wall down. Anybody ever had the experience of tearing a wall down? Anybody ever had the experience of the devil trying to block you from your blessing? But God did just stand flat footed, stand and believe that I am God and above me there is no other. How many of you believe that when the devil throws a wall in front of your place, that God is able to tear that wall down? Do I have any witnesses here today that can declare that God is in the reconstruction, deconstruction business, that he can tear down your walls? Joshua had but one obstacle at the outset of his journey. But truth be told, when you read the story, after the city of Jericho was dealt with, there were other impediments that Joshua had to deal with. But how many of you know you can't get to your other impediments if you don't deal with the one that's facing you right now? And some of us are running away from walls because we think we're too weak to deal with it. Or we think we're too uneducated to deal with it. Or we think we're too broke to deal with it. Or we think we don't have enough strength to deal with it. But I remind you to remind yourself that the devil is a liar. When the devil tells you you can't, God tells you that you can. And so it is that Joshua had to deal with the wall in order to get to the blessing. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you're going to have to deal with your walls in order to get to your blessing. Now, what about Nehemiah? What is it then that you see that parallels the story of dealing with walls? Well, if you go in the text and look at the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 3, and again, if you haven't yet found Nehemiah, please look in your table of contents. Some folk turn to the book of Psalms and pretend like they're in Nehemiah. I'm here. No, go ahead and find Nehemiah. I want you to look in the word for yourself. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 3 says, "And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." Now, this first chapter and this third verse of the book of Nehemiah gives me the context that Nehemiah, who was a Jew, was not in the city of Jerusalem, because he is being told this by survivors that have been taken captivity from where they were in Jerusalem to where he is in captivity, which is in Babylon. And part of fact, Nehemiah was not just in captivity. Nehemiah was actually holding a favored position. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. That means that if the king needed to drink anything, that Nehemiah, give me my cup, Brother Michael, Nehemiah would be the first to drink from it. That means if somebody wanted to do the king in and they put something in the king's drink, that Nehemiah would be the first to drink it, and the king would look at the results on Nehemiah to say whether it was safe enough to drink the drink that had been given to the king. Now some folk think it was good to be a cupbearer, but I'm here to declare, if I was the one that was going to get the drink before the king got the drink, maybe I wouldn't want to be a cupbearer, because that means I'm going to be the first one to go before the king goes. Now, there's some folk who make drink for me. Brother Michael, you want to drink a little bit of this first? The cupbearer, let me just clear it up. I trust my drink makers. Let me just be clear. Lucretia Bennett and Kathy Malloy, I trust my drink makers. I don't need Deacon State and anybody being my cupbearer. But the fact of the matter is, Nehemiah had the official task of being the king's cupbearer. And while he was doing his duty, the survivors from Israel had come back, or had been taken captivity, I should say, and they told him in his favored position what was going on back home in Jerusalem. And they said not only were the walls torn down, but the temple was in ruins. And how many of you know that in order for God's house to be in order, you've got to put it back in order the way God had intended it to be? A lot of us are trying to do things, but we're doing them out of order. And number one, before you work on you, you've got to work on God. Come on, somebody. A lot of us want to get us right before you get God right. But how many of you know you can't get you right until you get God right, and until you get God in the number one position? It is not until you put God in the number one position that your finances will work out, that your marriage will work out, that your siblings will be better, that your job will work out, that your church will work out, that your body will work out. If you don't have God in the number one position, then everything else will lie in ruins. Come on, somebody. My pastor used to say, if the people don't say amen to the light bulbs. Amen, light bulbs. Because I know I'm telling the truth. Until you put God number one in your life, everything else will be chaotic and out of order. Nehemiah understood this, and he said, we must work on rebuilding the temple of God. In order to rebuild the temple of God, we've got to build the wall and build the perimeter around the temple so that we can then work on the wall. And so I don't want you to miss this. In one instance, Joshua was sent to tear down some walls. In the other sense, Nehemiah, Sister Carrie, was sent to build up the walls. And as you are living your life, you are going to have both experiences. You're going to have some moments when you need to tear some things down, and you're going to have another moment when you need to build some things up. Come on, somebody. How many of you understand that the absence of one thing does not mean the presence of another? Let me say that again. The absence of one thing doesn't mean the presence. Just because you tear some stuff down, it's easy to tear things down. How many of you have figured out in life it's easy to tear things down? It's hard to build them back up. It's easy to tear people down. I know that there have been moments when I've built someone up, or folk have built me up, but in a moment somebody can come by, give you a dirty look and a dirty word, and tear your spirit down, tear your attitude down, tear your joy down, tear your praise down, because they are so broken themselves that if they're not happy, they don't want anybody else to be happy. But I need someone here to say, in spite of whether you're happy or not, I'm going to be happy. Whether you want to praise him or not, I'm going to praise him. Whether you got a reason to jot, I've got a reason to shout. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. And so if you don't want to praise him, just get out of my way, and don't you try to stop me from praising him. How many of you know the Lord is worthy to be praised? Yeah, God is worthy to be praised. So just because somebody's trying to tear you down, don't you let them tear you down. You let God build you up, and you say, brick by brick, day by day, I'm going to build me an altar of praise to God. I'm going to build me a sacrifice. I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it. God deserves my praise. I think about the building where God has us building down the street. And just because we have torn the walls down doesn't mean that we have yet built up what God wants us to build up. I believe, like Joshua, there was an impediment down the street. It was a 30-year building, a building that sat abandoned for more than 25 to 30 years. It was an old paper factory where they supplied paper products in and around the community. And because of white flight and the depressed economy, those folk abandoned the location, and nothing ever was built in its place. And just north of that is a housing project called North 25. And in that housing project is about 150 low-income housing units where families who are the least of these are living. And in those families are children, grade school, primary, secondary, high school, who are looking for places to play and recreate and find things to do. But in that housing project, there's no recreation center. And I said to the trustees and the deacons that how can it be that in the 21st century, that in a public housing project, there is no basketball court, there is no recreation center, there is no game room. And if you don't give the kids something to do, how many know the devil will give them, if you don't give them something constructive to do, the devil will give them something destructive to do. And like Deacon Rob Ross testified, and like I've testified, and like I've heard Deacon Poole testified, and like I've heard some of the sisters in the church testify, that it was because people who provide opportunity to me and to us and to them, that God gave us possibility. And so God said, number one, tear those walls down, because I want you to build something up in its place. But until you tear the walls down, nothing else can go there. And don't you know how happy and jubilant I and others of us were when that bulldozer dug the first hole in the ceiling of the old paper factory that sat there for 25 years and started yanking the bricks off the foundation? I said, Lord God be praised. But God said, just because you tore something down doesn't mean the job is over. You've finished your Joshua assignment, but now you've got a Nehemiah assignment. You've got to build something up. You've got to replace what's been in its place. You've got to give the joy and the opportunity and the possibility and say to somebody, just because you don't see it now, don't mean you can't see it. How many of y'all can see it down the street? I can see it. I can feel it. I can taste it. I can see it. I can almost believe that it's going to happen. But don't you understand the flip side of the coins? Joshua tearing something down. Nehemiah building something up. Both of these are experiences you and I as believers are going to have to deal with as we go throughout our lives. Now, I believe that the walls in both cases, but particularly in the Joshua text, stand as symbolic of the impediments and even the strongholds God, the devil's trying to place on some of our lives. You do know what a stronghold is, don't you? Stronghold is when the devil thinks he has an advantage on some aspect of your life. That he thinks he's got you now and you won't escape this. I've got such a strong hold on this person now that there's no way they're going to survive this. There's no way they're going to get out of this. There's no way they're going to get over this. There's no way they're going to get around this. But I just want someone to understand that God is in the business of tearing down walls and strongholds. When the devil's got you in a stronghold and a vice grip, I want you to say, Lord, have your way and get me out of this situation. I don't care how you do it. I don't care when you do it, but Lord, rescue me. And I hope I have just one person up in here who can tell me that I used to have a stronghold, but I'm still here right now. I hope there's one worshiper sitting up in the sanctuary that can look back over their lives and say, the devil had a stronghold, but look at God now. I'm not what you want me to be. I'm not everything I ought to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. He's brought me from a mighty, mighty long ways. Has the Lord done anything for anybody? Broken your stronghold. So therefore, the walls represent the things that are designed to keep you out. But I also want you to understand what it means to build yourself up to God. Brings me to my second point of dealing with work. Interestingly enough, in Nehemiah's text, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6 says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Brings me to my second point of work. I said earlier, it's not enough just to pray about it. And not enough just to praise about it. But every now and again, you need to be about it. It's easy to say what you're going to do. And it's easy to project all kinds of timetables and things of what you intend to do. But I need someone to understand that folk will respect what you do when they see you do it and accomplish what you set out to accomplish. And I believe that God is looking for some people who have a mind to work. Now I want you to understand the significance of that phrase, because just because you want to work doesn't mean you have a mind to work. A mind to work means that you put your hand to the plow, and no matter what comes against you or who comes against you, you're not going to give up on the work just because you don't get it done in the way or the manner or the time that you think you ought to get it done. How many of you understand that God does not work on your timetable? I need to say that again. How many of you understand that God doesn't do what you want him to do when you want him to do it? Let me flip it around. How many of you understand that God comes when God wants to come, and God does what God wants to do when God wants to do it? But in the meantime, you've got to keep your mind stayed on Jesus and have a mind to work. Let me help somebody else out. Not only do you have to do what you do, but you got to have a purpose in your spirit to say, while I'm waiting on the Lord, not only am I going to keep on working, but part of my work is to keep on praising him. Part of my work is to keep on praying to him. Part of my work is to keep on trusting in him. Part of my work is to keep on believing in him. And I need to understand today that there are some worshipers at the Shiloh Baptist Church that even though you don't yet see your breakthrough, you still have a mind to keep on praising the Lord. Come on, somebody. In the face of detractors, Reverend Dr. King said, a measure of a man is not where he stands in times of convenience, but where he stands in times of inopportune times and times of challenge and times of difficulty. That's the true character, measure of your character. Can you withstand the stronghold? Can you withstand the naysayers? Can you withstand the backbiters? Can you withstand the detractors? What are you talking about, preacher? In the book of Nehemiah, it mentions three men. It mentions a man by the name of Sanballat. It mentions a man by the name of Tobiah. And it mentions a man by the name of Geshem. All of these men were not Jewish, meaning they did not believe in Yahweh, meaning the God of the Israelites who were trying to rebuild the wall was not the same God of the Arabs who were trying to keep them from rebuilding the wall. Now, I don't know why Sanballat and Geshem and Tobiah did not want Nehemiah to rebuild the wall, but what the Bible says is that they did everything they could to prevent Nehemiah and the Jews from rebuilding the wall. How do you know? Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says in the text, Nehemiah chapter 4, but it happened that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews, and he tried to get them from rebuilding the wall. Here's what I want to help someone today. That when you have purpose in your heart to tear down your strongholds and to rebuild the things that God wants you to work on, you're trying to work on your prayer life, you're trying to work on your devotion life, you're trying to work on your marriage, you're trying to be more optimistic than pessimistic, you're trying to come to church regularly, you're trying to go to Sunday school, you're trying to come to Bible study, but the devil always has some detractors that while you're trying to get close to God, there's always going to be some Sanballats and some Tobias and some Geshems that are going to come into your life and try to prevent you from walking on building up what God is trying to get you to build up. But I need you to understand how Nehemiah responded to Sanballat. I need you to not miss how Nehemiah responded to Tobiah. Go to chapter number 6 in the book of Nehemiah and look at what Nehemiah says in chapter 6, verse number 2. He says,
Then that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me a message saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. I want you to circle that name, Ono. Because the Bible says that the detractors of the wall going up, people like Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem tried to distract Nehemiah and say, Nehemiah, won't you stop working on the wall? Won't you come down and meet me down in the valley of Ono? Now, I think it's a sense of God's humor that the name of the valley was Ono. Come on, somebody. Because when the devil is trying to get you to come down in the valley of Ono, you need to flip the script on the devil. Oh, no, devil. You're not going to get me to come down in the valley. Oh, no, devil. You're not going to get me to stop working on my prayer life. Oh, no, devil. Does anybody have an oh, no in your spirit that when the devil's trying to get you to stop, you need to look the devil in the face and say, oh, no, devil, you're a liar. Oh, no, devil, get behind me. Oh, no, devil, tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, when the devil's trying to get you to stop, I want you to say, oh, no. Can somebody say, oh, no, with me? Oh, no. God is real. God is worthy. God is magnificent. Nehemiah responded to Sanballat and Tobiah and to Geshem and said, oh no, I'm not going to stop the work of God to come please you down in the valley. Don't you know God just took me out of the valley? Why am I about to go back down in the valley? Has God released anybody out of the valley? You better stay on the wall. They had a mind to tell the devil no. And I need somebody here today who has a mind to work. Because when you are working, there's going to be some people and some things to try to get you to stop. But you got to keep pressing on towards the mark of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they sound like. On the flip side, Joshua had to do some work too. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, verse number 5, says that God said, or verse number 3. Make sure I'm not telling you wrong. Verse number 3. You shall march around the city. All of you men of war, go around the city once. And this you should do 6 days. Now understand the context now. Jericho is nowhere near coming down. But God said to the people, in order to get the wall to come down, you got to work. You got to get up off your backside. Go ahead and gather as a people. One day out of the day. March around the city one time. One day for 6 days. Now, if some of us had been in that crowd, we would have said, God, you must be out of your mind. Why would I march around a fortified city one time a day? And you're right. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. Let me say that again. Just because you don't understand it and it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean you don't have to do what God is telling you to do. Some of us right now are questioning God. God, it doesn't make sense while I'm doing what I'm doing. But God is saying, just keep on doing what I told you to do. Because sooner rather than later, your breakthrough is about to happen. But I just need to know, are you going to listen to me even when it doesn't make sense in your mind? Are you still going to trust me and do what I told you to do? So one time, every day, march around the city once and go back to your business. We've got to do the work that God is calling us to do. For 9 years, folk doubted, why did you buy that building? You wasted $340,000 of the church's money. Right? And it would come to people, but ultimately it was coming to me. Why did you lead us to do this? And for 9 years, we had to try this. That didn't work. Go with this one. That didn't work. Should we get rid of it? No, because that's not what God said. Keep doing what I told you to do, even when you don't know how it's going to work out. So when I stood there on April the 6th, the day after Resurrection Sunday, and God just told the people, you all, that God, Jesus was crucified on Friday, but God raised him up on Sunday, why would I then give up on Monday and believe that God cannot take that which was dead and bring it back to life? So you better believe if nobody else was praising God, I was praising God. Because I take God at God's word, and I believe that we've got to walk by faith and not by sight, even when there are detractors and doubters and naysayers that pop up in our way. You've got to believe that God will bring to fruition the very thing that he said he was going to do. How many of you believe that God will do just what he said he will do? You've got to do the work in the meantime. Brings me to my third point, and I'll let you go. Which basically says that after you have faced your wall, done your work, then you've got to learn how to worship God. Now I'm going to go start back with Joshua first. Because in the Joshua text, the Bible says, put the screen up, it says in Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 5, he says, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the next slide, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. Now, don't miss verse number 4. Which says that after you've marched around one time a day for 6 days, on the seventh day, you shall get your 7 priests, and each of them shall have 7 ram's horns, and you shall march around the city 7 times. Come on, somebody. That's why when Sister Melba blows her ram's horn, you all, some of y'all may look at her funny, but I need you to know that the ram's horn is an instrument of war and worship. It not only calls the people to worship, but it also gets them ready to go to war. I need somebody who's not afraid to blow your ram's horn and tell the devil, we about to serve notice on you, because God is about to do something great. You don't understand the word of God, do you? The Bible says that when the people of God marched around one time for each of the 6 days, that on the seventh day, they're supposed to get the 7 priests, and they're supposed to march around one time and get ready to blow your horn. Get ready to march around two times. Get ready to blow your horn. March around three times, four times, five times, six times. And on the seventh time, you're supposed to open up your mouth, blow your horn, and give God a shout. I mean a great shout. And watch the walls. Come on, somebody. Anybody willing to tear down some walls? Anybody ready to give God a great shout? Because I believe that some of us are so conditioned to waiting until the walls come down before we give God a shout. But God told Joshua, I want you to shout before your walls come tumbling down. God is looking for some people shouting before you get your breakthrough. God is looking for some people who don't mind shouting before you get your deliverance. God is looking for some people who don't mind shouting before you get brought out. God is looking for some people who don't mind shouting before you get your blessing. Do I have any shouters? Do I have any shouters? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Shout with a great shout. Shout till the walls come down. Shout. Thank you, God. Nehemiah, on the other hand, don't want you to miss this either. Now that you got Joshua, let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, God says, or the Bible says, in Nehemiah chapter number 6, that while Sanballat and Geshem and Tobiah were trying to get them to stop. Don't miss this now. Go to Nehemiah. Says in the text, chapter number 4, that while Nehemiah was on the wall doing the work of the Lord, that the people came to him, talked about him like a dog. I did tell you, folk gonna talk about you, didn't I? Called him every name under the book but a child of God. I did tell you, people gonna call you out your name, didn't I? Try to discourage him. I did tell you, folk gonna try to discourage you, didn't I? But look at what Nehemiah does. He doesn't talk back at him. He doesn't curse him. He doesn't go eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The Bible says in verse number 3, that now Tobiah was beside himself. He was filled with anger and resentment. But look at what the voice tense changes in verse number 4. I now hear Nehemiah said, hear, oh my God, hear my prayer. And the purpose of the point of the matter is, while folk are talking about you, all I want you to do is go in your prayer closet and give it over to the Lord. How many of you know that prayer changes things and prayer changes people? I need somebody who's willing to get a prayer through. I'm willing. God is looking for somebody who's not afraid to get on bending knee. God is looking for some people who's not afraid to lie down flat before the Lord. God is looking for some people who don't mind giving him the glory and giving him the praise, so that when your naysayers and your backbiters try to get the best of you, I need you to go in your prayer closet. Go ahead and get your prayer on. Go ahead and tell God all about it. Go ahead and get on your knees. Let God fight your battle. Because when God fights your battle, he does it better than you ever could. Do I have a witness here today that God will fight your battle? Do I have a witness here today that God will move your mountain? Do I have a witness here today that God had built a bridge over troubled waters. Do I have a witness here today that God is able to do everything he said he would do? If you are a witness for the Lord, I want you to go ahead and get your prayer on and get your praise on. Can anybody lift up your hands and give God some praise? Can anybody lift up your mouth and give God a hallelujah? Can anybody open up your mouth and give God a glory to you? Somebody needs to magnify the name of the Lord because he's worthy. The Lord is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Worship is not just when the choir sings. Worship is not just when the deacons pray. Worship is a total commitment of your life that you gonna recognize God, that he is number one. So don't let anybody stand in your way of worshiping the master. I don't know who this message was for, but I believe that there are some Joshuas and some Nehemiahs sitting in the congregation today that needed to hear the message about walls. They needed to hear the message about work, and they needed to hear the message about worship. Because God is looking to tear some things down and build some things up. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation. Help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I don't know who you are, but I hope that you would see yourself as a Joshua and a Nehemiah. Man, I hope you understand that God wants to do something great in you. God wants to give you a blessing that would blow your mind. But you're going to have to deal with the walls to get there. And you're going to have to deal with the naysayers to get there. And how you deal with your walls will determine how you get your blessing. So if you're here today, the choir's going to sing. And before they do that, I want to invite you, man or woman, boy or girl, to consider the message that God has given you today. It is nothing I made up. It is all right there in the Bible. You can call me a lot of things, but you will never call me a non-Bible preaching preacher. It is my job to tell you what the Bible says. What you do with it is up to you. And so it's my prayer that there would be someone here today that would hear the message, see the words for themselves, and understand that I can't get over my walls or tear them down until I trust in God. Look at God today. Come on, give God a praise offering in this place. God bless you, young man. All right? Good to have you. In the name of Jesus, God bless you, young lady. God bless you, all right? Let's give God a praise offering. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen.
before the choir sings, the words of the song are so important. We offer Christ to you, my brother and my sister. He will give you brand new life eternally. And I believe that God wants to give that to someone. Either for the first time and you've come to know Christ and you've never made a decision for him before, or to say to you, listen, whatever hurt you before, God wants to do something new in you. Come give me a second chance, God is saying. And so whether you have never joined a church or you've been out of a church for a long time, or maybe even you've been away from this church for a long time, God is saying to you, I want you to come in the name of Jesus. Come give me another chance. Come give us your hand and give God your heart. All we can do is offer God to you. Come and join the church. If you already believe you're a Christian, come join the church right now. Or you can become a Christian for the first time by giving your life to the Lord Jesus. So whichever one applies to you, if you want special prayer, just step in the aisle and one of these men or women will pray for you in the name of Jesus. But if you want to join the church, God bless you, sister. If you want to join the church or give your life to Christ, look at God today.